San Antonio. That's it.
What a great job, Loyola.
Incredible.
Yep.
Another fairy tale ride is underway for Loyola Chicago.
Porter Moser came to Loyola Chicago at the beginning of the 2011-2012 season. They went 7-23 in that first year, but by 2021, he won 188 games, 3 Missouri Valley Conference regular season titles, 2 conference tournament titles, 1 magical Final Four run, and engineered a stunning upset of 1-seeded Illinois in last season's NCAA tournament. On April 2nd of this year, Moser took the head coaching job at Oklahoma after building one of the best mid-major programs in college hoops. Only a few days later, assistant coach Drew Valentine was promoted as head coach, making him the youngest head coach in the sport at only 29 years old. So far in his first season, the Ramblers have picked up right where they left off. They're 9-2 so far, ranked 23rd in KenPom, 18th in net ranking, and are second in all of college basketball in effective field goal shooting at 59.8%. The Ramblers can be spoilers again this season and have the potential to bust even more brackets in March, but this time they're going to be led by a newer and younger voice. After beating Vanderbilt 69-58, I caught up with Coach Valentine to discuss the win, connecting with his players, and the direction he plans on taking this program moving forward.
All right, Coach, first things first, 17 made threes.
Yeah.
You guys were able to hunt them out, and a really good performance in terms of like perimeter passing, too.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is just the offense you guys run? How much of that is just like the opportunity that was presented tonight?
I think it's the opportunity that's presented tonight. You know, they do a really good job of keeping you on the sideline, and they like flood the ball, so the kickouts, like, and then, you know, finding the open guy, driving closeouts. Those are the things that are open against that team. You know, we played a similar team early this year that plays the defense a similar way in Coppin State. And, you know, we made 23s. We set the school record that game. And, you know, we recruit a certain kind of player, skill, toughness, IQ, guys that can all dribble, pass, and shoot. And, you know, we play 4 of those guys on the court. Even our 5s are the same way. And I thought we did a really good job. I thought we were kind of holding on to the ball too long, and then we got it moving and popping. Made a couple turnovers, but hey, we're not going to be perfect. And, you know, I thought we took good ones. You know, I talked to our guys at halftime about that. We were 8-for-16 from 3 at halftime, but like I thought we were taking, you know, 80% shots for us. And so I was pleased with that. And, you know, guys stepped up and made plays.
Mm-hmm. And, I guess in that first, you said you took good ones. What would you tell your team? Like, obviously not all 3-point looks are created equally.
Yeah.
Which ones are the ones that you're telling them, like, hey, feel free to fire away? Or guys that might not be, you know, your Braden Norses that are 40% 3-point
yeah.
shooters, to still instill the confidence in them and say, hey, this is a good look for you.
Kickouts and one more. That's what we wanted to do. You know, get into the paint, then kick out the inside out threes. That's what we were trying to take. We took a couple in transition, but I thought they were good, and I think we got good shooters. So that's going to happen when you're playing at a fast pace. You're going to take some early threes. But again, I thought the threes that we were taking were open, and I thought they were good ones.
We had Braden in here earlier, and he was talking about kind of the styles between like your coaching style and Porter Moser's coaching style. And he's saying you guys play maybe a little more pace. Is that something you've kind of just personal preference with how your teams play? Or is that just like that's what you think fits this team?
It's just what fits this team. I think we always played fast. I know our guys think that it's different, but the main difference is no Cameron Krutwig. With Cameron Krutwig, mm-hmm. you want to get him the ball as much as possible because he's an All-American. He was Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. He's a 3-time first-team All-League player. So when you have somebody that good, you're going to involve them in the offense mm-hmm. as much as possible. With this, it's our guards are, you know, Huddy and Chris Knight are still coming along, and they were doubling the post tonight, so I didn't want to throw it into the post. We knew that coming in, so we want to, you know, let our guards do what they do, and I want to let them feel free. I want to let them feel confident, but also they understand they got to be tight with their game as well.
Well, there's a couple sets I noticed you guys ran to where the ball does go into the elbow, and it's a whole lot of, like, cutting off in a lot of the same ways that you guys used Cam Krutwig last
right.
year, and you'd enter, you know, possessions that way. Is that something that you envision for them, like, in their future in terms of, like, being able to not play the role that Krutwig did, because obviously
yeah.
that's a very unique skill set for a guy his size. But is that something that I guess you're kind of envisioning them being able to do kind of as the season goes along?
Well, that's the way that pro basketball is played. You know, they play, they call it zoom action. That's the universal term. So when you watch an NBA game, you're going to see every team run zoom action. Even Rudy Gobert or, you know, guys that are just rim rolling five men, they're kind of starting to get more extinct. So I feel like it's my duty if I want my guys, if I'm recruiting a guy and I tell him, all right, I want you to be a pro, I got to put you in a professional style system. So that's the reason why we play that kind of way. But we also recruit guys that can be effective in that style of system. Like Chris Knight played in Chin in Dartmouth. Ryan Schwieger played in Chin at Princeton. I mean, St. Thomas played in you know, kind of the what we call the zoom action. He played in that in high school. So we're recruiting guys that are used to playing in that style of play.
Well, how much more of that, I mean, has, like, evolved into part of recruiting? Like, obviously the transfer portal, like, guys are being able to move around a lot of different places. And you just mentioned those two examples of guys who really fit that style of play. How much more of that has become part of the recruiting process, especially for you now that you're, like, the CEO of the program?
Right? Yes.
Like, the assistant.
We're the only school in the country that has had five consecutive all-league transfers. Think about that. There's 15 guys on all-league teams in the Missouri Valley Conference. Five straight years, Loyola Chicago has had an all-league transfer. And so transfers mixed in with the high school guys, that's our you know, recruiting plan. And, you know, that's what we're going to follow. That's what's worked here. Again, Coach Moser set the foundation, and it's my job to continue that and continue moving it forward the way the arrow and the direction that he was going. So again, five straight years, all league Missouri Valley Conference transfer. Think about that. If you're a transfer, I think Loyola Chicago is a really good place for you.
As the youngest coach in the country and being, like, closer to your players in an age gap and closer to, I guess, the players that you're recruiting in terms of age, is that, I guess, help you relate to them better or help them gain your trust too? I mean, obviously with these guys right now, you've coached them before in the assistant role. Your role has changed a little bit now, but does that help a lot in terms of, I guess, connecting to these players on a personal and a basketball level too?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a basketball perspective, you know, I'm hard on them. I demand a lot. But the reason why I can is because I feel like I can relate to them on a personal level. I can talk up to them about the cool gray 11s that are dropping tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Chicago. Hope we can get our hands on those. I can talk to them about the music that dropped today. I can talk to them about the Drake and Kanye concert to them last night. And it's not forced. It's completely natural. And so when you build that relationship, and then I also coach them hard, and then I can also get on the floor. You know, my brother's a current NBA player. So when I, you know, bring NBA players into the gym and I say, hey, this is how you got to work, when I can get on the court and show them myself how to work, you know, the combination of all that, I think, mixed in with the culture that's already established here is why I think we're going to continue to keep doing our thing here at Loyola.
And another thing too, one thing, obviously, like, Duke's a different example because Duke is, like, such a national brand, but Coach K retires and he has a successor that's, you know, of your age, that relates these players to, and it's a similar situation. But how was, I guess, Porter able to help you in terms of showing you how, like, a CEO runs the basketball team, or how, like, a head coach takes on all these different responsibilities?
I think the first way is accountability. I mean, if you're not on every single area, if you're not thinking outside of the box, if you're not preparing like a head coach, he doesn't want you to be an assistant coach. And so I was fortunate to learn that from him. I got better when I first got there. I wasn't thinking every single day, what can I do to help Loyola Chicago be better? If it was an off day, I might be thinking about what I wanted to do. And as I got better, as I, you know, grew under him and he groomed me, I started to think about how can I help our program be better each and every day. And then by the end, I think he really helped me, you know, feel like I was prepared and ready for the job. So
just one more thing, and it's an obligatory thing. I'm Nashville media, so I have to kind of ask too. Playing Scottie Pippen Jr., high usage rate player, takes a ton of shots, excellent at driving to the basket, and a lot of the guys that are scoring after him, or, you know, besides him, are coming off of his assists, like they're, like, kick out threes, everything like that. What was the game plan in terms of trying to keep him away from the restricted area and keep him away from being able to do his best, and that's kind of get to the rim and then get others involved from those kind of plays?
Well, I don't think we did a good job keeping him out of the paint. He drew 10 fouls, you know, so I don't think we did any shot 10 free throws. So but our game plan was to not let the other guys around. We wanted to make it hard on him, and then we wanted to make the others around him try to beat us with their shooting and with their playmaking. We knew that they had 4 assists last game against Temple, and so we wanted to make them try to be playmakers. And I thought we did a good job of just making Scotty work. You know, we threw different people at him, whether it was Ahiro Ugwak, whether it was Lucas Williamson, whether it was Marquise Kennedy at times, whether it was Tate Hall. I mean, those guys are all 4 elite defenders, and so we tried to just give him different looks. We tried to give him a couple different ball screen looks, and he was still really effective. He's a great player. He was SEC preseason player of the year for a reason, but again, that was kind of our game plan with him.
Big thanks to Loyola Chicago coach Drew Valentine for his time. Again, this is a fascinating basketball team that is in a fascinating position. They're top 25 in KenPom right now. They're clicking on all cylinders, and I definitely believe this will be a team that you're going to see in March that could be spoiling a bracket or two of yours when the time rolls around. Thank you for listening to this one-on-one edition on Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. There'll be more on thegamenashville.com. I look forward to talking to you again when Michelle and I record next week.